This is The Grad Perspective, where fresh voices in sports media and business take to the mic. We often hear from the veterans, the industry giants decades into their career, but what about those just breaking in? I'm your host, Kira Johnston, and each episode I sit down with a Holmes Glen graduate who is making their mark in the industry. If you are chasing a career in sport or just want to know what it's really like, you're in the right place. Honest conversations, real experiences, stories that inspire the next wave.
I think very early on I thought I was either going to be a jockey or going to be a sports commentator. I wanted to leave uni not just with a degree but with experience that would serve me well when I went into the workforce. If you get rejected 10 times, you might get accepted on the 11th.
Today I am joined by Liam McCullough, journalist and newsreader at Ace Radio. Welcome.
Cheers for having me. It's very nice to be back.
It's nice to be in the chair next to you. We went to Holmes Glen together, so we had our entire three-year journey with each other. You said you haven't been back since November. What was it like coming back in?
Very strange, actually, catching the train. I forgot how much of a hassle it was to get to the other side of the city, obviously, from Williamstown, where I stayed during uni. But, yeah, a bit eerie coming back. But looking forward to today and obviously seeing everyone, lecturers, and all classmates and that sort of thing. It's, very nice to be back and very happy to be here.
Now, in the industry, we love a good elevator pitch. If we had a dollar for every elevator pitch we gave in our 3 years here, we'd be rich. So I'm going to start every episode with asking the guests to give us their elevator pitch.
I'm a 21-year-old sports nuffy from Colac, a real country lad. I love everything to do with cricket, footy, soccer. Also follow other sports like baseball, basketball, even a bit of horse racing now as well. But yeah, I just love sport and thought, why not talk about it and make it my job, because I was vertically challenged and not very good at actually playing the sport. But
you addressed it, not me.
Yes, well, it was the elephant in the room, but no.
We're sitting down. No one can tell your height,
well,
Liam.
Well, yes. yeah, but anyway, I just loved sport ever since I was a kid. And loved speaking to people and thought, why not try and combine the two? Lo and behold, there's a perfect thing for that, and that's the media industry. So that's where I am now.
Is there a moment in your life where that clicked, where you were like, this is where I need to be, I need to put these two passions together and make it a career?
Well, when I was really young, I had the nickname Bruce in primary school after, obviously, Bruce McAvaney. So I think very early on I thought I was either going to be a jockey or going to be a sports commentator. So, and it was one of those things. I'd always had a passion for English and writing in high school as well. So it just became one of those things, you know, as you play sport and you're actually able to write about it. Like there's a lot of athletes who can't speak and can't write about it. So if you can do that, why not?
How did Holmes Glen come alight? Where did you decide, or how did you decide that's the path you wanted to take?
Well, I knew I wanted to get into the media industry. Obviously, loved English, as I said, through high school, but also media. And we were doing sort of searches for uni courses, and I can't remember what it was, whether it was VCAT or that sort of thing, but it popped up, and there was courses from, you know, RMIT, Vic Uni, and all that for sports business and media and other things like that. There was diplomas at Swinburne that I looked at, but I just sort of thought when I saw this description for the course, it was more hands-on, it was smaller classes, it was more practical, and I just thought that fitted the bill perfectly for what I wanted. I wanted to leave uni not just with a degree, but with experience that would serve me well when I went into the workforce. And obviously, when you come from the country, it's a massive commitment to go to uni and to actually do it. Like, there are some of my mates that are travelling 2 hours on a train every day to do their course, whereas I was lucky I had family down here. But when you're making a big commitment like that, you need something that fits the bill perfectly. And for me, this course was it.
A unique part of your journey at Holmes Glen, which I won't be able to touch on with all the guests, but you went on a US trip. You got to experience the first one that Holmes Glen held. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, it was my first trip overseas as well. It was absolutely remarkable. Obviously, to spend a week in Vegas and then a week in LA and experience the world, like that's a pretty cool element within itself through your uni. But then to get industry insights into multiple sporting professions across all levels as well, amateur, professional, to this day, probably one of the better experiences of my life, really, to do that. Like it was unbelievable. And I was actually thinking about this on the way up today to record this. Like, yeah, you don't get that opportunity a lot to travel with people who you're friends with or to build those connections with. So to travel with, you know, I think we had seven or eight of our uni classmates, and then your lecturers, like, it's a bit bizarre. I don't think there's another uni course or anything like that in Melbourne, at least, you know, in the state. So, no, that was remarkable to go overseas. And for it to be your first trip overseas as well, it's just incredible.
Another big part of Holmes Glen is the internship experience. Ethan Daffy was the guest on the last episode and he spoke glowingly about his experience. What was your experience like?
Well, I was very lucky. So I was already working at the Colac Herald at our local newspaper. It was a place that I had done work experience in year 10. So I applied for a job there. 2022 it would have been, and I was on and off a bit with uni and that sort of thing. But then when the internship came around, like I would have loved to have been in Melbourne and to do it, but just to have the financial backing of obviously working while I did my internship, staying in Colac was just perfect for me. And I did it there. And Andrea, my former boss, or who was the boss at the Colac Herald, when I worked there, she still is, but she was just fantastic in allowing flexibility for me. I worked in the editorial and general news section, so I wasn't really covering as much sport as I probably wanted to, but it set me up so fantastic. When you look at what I covered, like my first story, I can still remember the first story I wrote was on a shipwreck that happened off the coast of Apollo Bay 150 years ago. Now, that has no relevance to sport, and it's not something I'm especially interested in, but it sets you up well because you learn to understand the story. And obviously, as I said, speaking to different people about a wide variety of topics, I mean, that's part of the role of a journalist and a media professional, really. So no, it set me up really well doing agriculture and business and all that sort of stuff that I wasn't quite familiar with beforehand.
I think it's going to be a running thread at the Grad Perspective that people come into this industry wanting to work in sport, but often they get pulled in all different directions and cover all kinds of different news. What would be a piece of advice to someone that is hell-bent on getting into sport, but maybe an opportunity's come up in another avenue?
Well, this isn't just a media thing as well. I think no matter what job you have, adaptability is your best friend. So being from Colac, like there's one job at a newspaper and they've already got two people writing sport. Now, I've never had a job, full-time job writing. I'm never going to get that job. So you sort of do have to take what you can get, or I suppose at least the way I looked at it, I thought that anyway. So, you know, you take what you can get and you just hope that if a door opens up, right place, right time, you're there and you've got already that experience behind you. But, yeah, you've got to be adaptable. I always look at it, if I can cover three things, even though it might not be what I want to cover, I can fill in if someone's got a week off sick or if someone's crook. And, you know, even graphics-wise, like the stuff we did through this course with video editing and audio editing, I was able to do that, whereas someone can just write. Like, that, it's a bit different to, I don't know, you make yourself a better commodity for the person you're working for if you're able to cover more bases.
You've said it so perfectly. We'll touch on
about that, but geez.
You have. We'll touch on it a little bit later in the episode when we talk about your current role. But I'm a podcast nerd. I listen to podcasts all the time of journalists and media professionals, and so many of them go through the country pathways. They work in a country organisation. How beneficial was that to you during your internship?
It was paramount. Like work in a community where I grew up, and I already had a lot of connections, and I suppose that helps as well when you're doing call arounds to get stories and that sort of thing. But yeah, I don't know how I would have gone not being in Colac at that time. So no, it was awesome. And I mentioned flexibility and adaptability and that sort of thing. Another thing that came along through doing a podcast here in this very studio, in this very seat, Ace Radio, who I currently work for now, they offered me a position to do a country podcast and to commentate on weekends, and I did that on top of my obviously job at the newspaper, and that was covering sports. So no, being able to be in Colac and work at the Colac Herald was for me just fantastic. And if there's people listening and they're a bit unsure about where they should go, working in a country environment will serve you unbelievably well, because you won't just be doing one thing, you'll be doing everything, because the the job descriptions are so stretched there. You have to be able to cover and be able to be adaptable and flexible and do a wide variety of roles.
I love that so much. So you've just finished your internship. You didn't necessarily finish because you kept on working there, but you finished your internship. You've graduated. What was that day like after you graduated? Were there any fears or were you just excited to get started?
After I graduated?
Yep.
Oh, very hungover. So I was pretty lucky. I got approached about, it would have been October last year, so just before I had graduated, and Nick Hay, the boss of, or the general manager of Ace Radio's Colac branch, Mix 106.3 or 1134 3CS, he had already approached me for a job beginning in January. So he was trying to line it up. I'd like to think he scouted me for a bit and had it lined up. Like, there was an opening and I was finishing a uni degree and I'm best mates with his nephew and this, all these, like, I know who he was and he's a very prominent figure in Colac. Like, he's involved with cricket and footy and everything, and he sort of pitched me a job and said, look, would you be interested? And immediately I was like, well, it's very similar to what I'm doing. It's news and sport, but it's just speaking. And I was like, well, I'm doing the podcast. I've had experience doing a little bit of radio stuff. So I was like, yeah, why not? Let's have a go. I told the Colac Herald and they were obviously a bit sad, but they understood. And so from, I think we graduated on like in November or something like that. By December 20, I had finished at the Colac Herald, and by January 13, I had started at Ace Radio. So I already sort of had a path, or I knew where I was going after I graduated, which made me a lot less stressed about what the next sort of 6 to 10 months after graduating looked like.
It's very nice when you've got a plan all mapped out. Do you have any advice for anyone that doesn't have that lined up and they're thinking, oh, I'm about to graduate, not sure what to do, not sure where to go? What would be your advice to them?
Well, you're only going to know if you have a crack. You know, I think very often things aren't going to just happen for you. I think you have to sort of know what you want, but also be understanding that, you know, you have to apply and you might not get what you want. You might get knocked back. You might be working in the industry but not in the role you want. So you have to be willing to do the hard yards, to do the hard jobs, do the jobs that no one wants. You know, not everyone wants to go out to the Colac sale yards and smell the lovely smells of cattle on a Friday morning. But yeah,
it's got to be done.
Well, someone has to do it. And I think you've got to put your hand up. You just got to get out there. Even if you get rejected 10 times, you might get accepted on the 11th. So you have to go out there and... especially in Melbourne, although I'm very lucky, there's lots of jobs in media industries in Colac. So even if I wasn't in Colac, I'd go to Cobden or Camperdown or a surrounding town like that. But in a metropolitan and Melbourne area, you have to go out there and you have to get experience, whether it's an internship where you're not getting paid for it. You just have to put yourself out there.
Absolutely. You make your own luck. It's a rapidly changing industry and you've definitely got your hands dirty over the last few years. What do you think the biggest shift has been that you've seen?
I think the biggest change has been the use of AI. Yep. For everything. You can use it for social media, for writing, for like the stuff it does with graphs and charts, and its ability to process information is unbelievable, and that's only going to expand tenfold. But yeah, that'd have to be the biggest. I think it's going to make everyone more efficient with their role. I don't think it's generally going to take our jobs as such, because I still think everybody loves that creative human element of what we do. Like, you're not going to hear an AI-generated voice read the radio, because people don't relate to that, and there's always going to be that. And even when you're writing a story for a newspaper or producing a show like what you do, Kira, people are going to always gravitate towards that human element of it, because it's just what we relate to. I think it's going to make us more efficient, and it's going to be how we use that going forward in the future.
I would love to pick your brain more on AI, because I think people hear AI, students don't use AI. Simone, I'm doing it for you. I'll preface, if you're a student, use AI correctly. Make sure you do it all properly, because you don't want to fail and you don't want to not graduate. then you won't be able to be on this podcast. But in real life scenarios at the moment, in workplaces, AI is definitely a big topic of conversation. And I think if you're not using it, you're probably getting left behind at the moment because of how quickly it is becoming a really big part of the industry. What do you use it for in your day-to-day life?
Well, yeah, I will get into that, but I just want to preface, I never used AI when I was at uni. And
Neither of us did. That's why we graduated.
Well, that's why my grades probably suffered. But I never used it at the Colac Herald either. So I always believed when you're authoring something, when you're handing in work, when you're writing a story or you're trying to tell a story, it is incredibly important that it's your own work because no one else can think like you can. And that's just the honest truth. No one else is able to analyze something the way you can. So it's incredibly important that you do your own work. But when it comes to how I use it for news, so I as I said, never used it before this job. With my job, I need to write 6 news stories or 3 or 4 sports stories a day. So if you think about that, I'm covering 40 to 50 stories a week.
It's a lot of stories.
Well, yes. But and it depends. Some stories run for 20 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever you sort of write them to or whatever content you have, really. But due to guidelines around commercial radio and what needs to be in news bulletins and headlines and that sort of thing, each news read that you put to air, so from 5:30 through to 8:30, which is my morning reads, and then your headlines, which play once on the air every hour, every read needs to be different or unique. So you need to create 13 minutes of unique and different content. Now, I'm not going to be able to write 13 minutes worth of different stories because there just isn't that much that happens in Colac and surrounds. So where it comes in is I'll author the initial story that I want to read, and I'll use AI to write it 3 or 4 different ways. And it helps with writer's block. And I still think the importance of my work is that I author it, and anything I punch into AI, I have to become the editor of, because it will take information that you haven't given it or write things in an American way which doesn't suit the Australian twang. And that sort of thing. But the efficiencies and the way it can help me produce more work is unbelievable.
Life-changing.
I went from anti-AI to pro-AI very quickly.
Liam's like AI's best friend now.
It was actually 2 days.
2 days from hating it to loving it.
Yeah.
What's the biggest misconception about working in sport or media, do you think?
I hate the politics of sport. And that's one thing, like, when I started, I would watch every AFL game. I'd watch every cricket, ball of cricket that I could watch, whereas now I'd get... I would watch maybe 1 or 2 games of football if I'm lucky a week, and it'll be on a Sunday, whatever, before I head into work. So I don't know whether it's because I'm working on it and it's taken on the joy of it out of it, but when you look at funding and how it filters down and what we want our sport to be, everybody wants sport to be different. But I think working in the industry and seeing what goes on with funding for sports clubs, with facilities, the politics behind it, I've sort of become a bit disillusioned with how sport is run, really. And that's not a dig at anyone. It's just, you know, to go from watching 9 games of footy a week, every game of cricket, and then you go, oh, I don't know if I'll watch it. I'll just put on a movie. You know, it can be draining. It takes your love away from the game, really. I mean, I still love sport, and I enjoy the human element of sport more than I would enjoy the game now.
We're very similar on that front. It probably doesn't help that our footy clubs aren't doing too well.
Yes.
You're a North Melbourne fan, so look, that's probably not helping your case, but absolutely, I think that's something that people probably don't think about when they go into the industry. I'm the same. I still love the human element. I love the stories, but the game as such, I'm not so passionate. Like, not passionate's the wrong word, but I'm not footy enough anymore. Yeah, yeah. I would, you know, be my emotions, my week was whether Carlton lost or whether Carlton won. Now it is so much more to do with the stories and the people.
Do you find you're critical of the media as well now? Like, when
I can't watch TV the same. Yeah. I watch TV and I'm like, that lighting's wrong or that camera angle's not great. I watch documentaries and I'm like, that probably could have been executed a bit better.
Well, what about the storylines in sport? Like, how do you, like you produce and help on certain TV shows, and we might get into that later. How do you go watching what other media figures spit out for their stories?
Well, it's interesting because I think most stories, I mean, you'd know working in radio, yeah, most stories are the same. It just is how they're angled and how they're positioned. So, yeah, I definitely have a keen eye on what other stations, what other TV channels are doing. But I still love the story element, yeah, of it. So I'm probably the nuff on that case. I want to know what everyone's saying in that manner. What about you?
Well, I think it goes back to what you think sport's for. Like, what do we think? What do you think sport's for?
To bring people together. I think sport has the power to change the world, and that's stealing Nelson Mandela's quote, but it has the ability to connect people in a way that little else does.
Yeah.
And I think that is the power of sport. I think we see it in, you know, there's a bushfire. A month later, we'll have a bushfire game to raise money. Like, it can change the world.
Well, it's about, for me, it's about community and about the dreams of kids. That's what sport is. When you picture what you want, like, let's use the AFL as an example. If you want, you know, what the AFL's brand is, it's for a 12-year-old kid with the number 29 because he loves Gary Ablett Jr. on the back. You know, that's what the game's for. It's for kids to live out their dreams, and it's for community. And you see that not just at AFL level, but you see it everywhere. Like, in the Southwest at the moment, we're in the midst of one of our worst droughts in 100 years. And the football clubs and netball clubs become a lifeline for those people. It becomes a place where they're able to celebrate, or not celebrate, but they can share experiences of hardships. Like, we've seen just locally, like Cobden, one of our clubs, who has birthed some great AFL players over the last couple of years, Gary Rowan, Ben Cunnington, Sam Walsh, Sean Darcy, Zach Merritt, Reece Unwin is another one as well, who's freshly at Essendon. But they had a Farmer's Day out, and they were, Cobden had been hammered from pillar to post, had won two games for the entire year, and they knocked off a team that was five spots above them on the ladder.
That's like, what sport's about.
That's sport. Like, and I think it's imperative to people because of its community, and as you say, it brings people together.
We mentioned off the top your role at Ace Radio. There's no typical day in this industry, but can you try and give me an idea of what your day looks like?
So I produce 3 or 4 web articles a week that I'll write. So that's similar to what I did at the Colac Herald, really, where you're writing longer format, 200, 300 word web articles. Then I'll do my reads or write my reads. We're very lucky, Ace Radio. We're part of a network. So you think about Melbourne, you think about all the areas around Melbourne, like a horseshoe, and we have stations all around. So we have Colac. I work very closely with Warrnambool's news journo, Paddy Gordon, and then we have Hamilton, Horsham, Swan Hill, Wangaratta, Traralgon, all these country towns, and we work as a network. So if I have a story and I can't get someone for an audio grab or ring them, I'll write it up to 30, 35 seconds, send it off to Traralgon, and Traralgon's journo, Dan Brewer, will read it for me, and it's like we have an on-the-field reporter. So we're part of a network, which I'm very lucky and thankful that we're a part of as well. So there's that element where you're helping those guys, and you're working as part of a team. Then I'll research my own stories, write my own stories to go to air. So as I said, 6 news, 3 or 4 sport, depending on what the day throws up. Try and track down people for audio grabs if I can. And then I'll write them to go to air, and then I'll read them to air.
Do you love reading to air?
It was a struggle at the start, and I've had a couple of shocking stuff ups, and I will get into them because they're pretty funny. We have a stuff up of the week, which we run every fortnight, and I think I've won it like five times. Like, just,
I love that.
I say to my boss, he goes, he swears at you, but I won't swear on it. He goes, you've stuffed up your news again. Like, this will be the next day. And I go, well, it's your fault for hiring someone who can't read or write to do the news, you know, but yeah.
What are some of those stuff ups?
Well, there was one very early on I stuffed up, and I went to read it, and I stuffed up halfway through, and I sort of sat and went afterwards and just blew a raspberry into the microphone, and that went to air at 1 p.m. while people are eating lunch and listening to it. There's been, I had one the other week. There was Need for Feed. We're doing a big hay run to Camperdown, so they're dropping off $500,000 worth of feed for drought-affected dairy farmers. And I was thinking about the trucks, like what size the trucks are, and they're B double trucks. And I accidentally got my words mixed up and I said double B's, which is a bra size, which was just fantastic to go to wear in the morning. And I definitely won stuff up of the week for that one. But no, there's been a couple like that.
Do you know, we all aim to be, you know, say our reads right, but they would have made people's day. People were eating lunch that hear you do a raspberry. They would have loved that. It's a good laugh.
It's not good because my phone blows up as soon as one of them goes to air and it's like, oh no, what have I done this time?
Do you know the good thing about this? We're not brain surgeons. Yeah, that's what I remind myself.
Oh, absolutely. Thank God for that. Thank God for that.
What keeps you motivated day to day, Liam? Is it that love for sport and the root of what it comes down to, or is there something else that gets you up every day to keep going?
I do love my job. Like, I love my community. Like, I've growing up in Colac, like, it's just a beautiful town. Like, I just love it. Might not be there forever, and there is a big wide world out there. You certainly feel like you do outgrow it at times. But it's just, I love my community that I'm a part of. I love my sport. My sporting clubs, I should say, that I'm involved in the West Warrington Cricket Club and the Rovers Soccer Club, and even Irrawarra Beak, who I used to play football, I still get out there and support them because they do sport the right way. I talk about community and what it means for the kids. Like, they invest heavily in juniors, and they just, there's something about community sport where I'm from. Like, there is no reason Colac should have a team that plays in one of the Premier Leagues in Geelong, in the Colac Tigers, and then we have our own league. Like, there's no reason we should be able to facilitate that on top of a baseball team that plays in Geelong, a soccer team that plays in Geelong, its own lawn bowls competition, its own cricket competition. Like,
it's star netballers.
Yes, superstar netballers in Zara Walters, who won for the Melbourne Vixens. Cousins with Luke Hodge as well, by the way.
I did not know that.
Yeah, there you go.
That's why Luke Hodge was giving them a shout-out.
Yeah,
that's
probably.
That's making sense.
Yeah. But it's an obligational right to play footy, or not just footy, to play sport. So, and as I said, it's the lifeline for these people. And, you know, they've been the backbone of these games for 150, 200 years. And while I might not just be covering sport, I also cover a fair bit of agriculture, obviously, because that's a massive industry around Colac and the Corangamite regions. But yeah, I think when you're providing a service for someone, it makes you feel pretty good. And I get to do that every single day. So I'm pretty blessed and pretty lucky.
You speak so glowingly of both your job and your town. It's actually really beautiful to hear. What's the most rewarding part of your job? Is it that, the impact you have on people?
Yeah. Well, I'd like to think I impact people. I'm not building someone a house, or I'm not protecting the community like a police officer or a member of the SES or anyone like that, the CFA. Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to think that when you cover a positive story or tell someone's story, like last week I covered a local alpaca farmer who won awards at an alpaca show, and they were very happy and sent me a text afterwards and were happy with that. And it's like, well, I've made someone's day better. So, yeah, I don't know. That's probably a good element of it, yeah.
Do you have a favourite story that you've covered? Is there one that sticks out that you're really proud of? Or just really enjoyed?
Really enjoyed. Well, the podcast I do, so I run two podcasts, or not run, but I co-host two podcasts for Ace Radio, Line and Length Cricket and CDFNL Insiders. And some of the guests we've had on them have been hysterical. Like, and their stories of sport. We had a guy, Matty Zerbo, who's a writer as well. He's done a couple of books, but he was telling stories about how he played footy in Tasmania and he used to hot wire cars to get the light towers working so they could go for a nighttime kick. And I don't know, when you explore that element of it, I was pretty proud. I did an Olympics series last year where I covered all the Olympians from the region and how they went about it. Like an Olympic sailor from Colac who does all his training on the Lake Colac, like, it's just remarkable. And I did a World Game feature series on all the Rovers players who were my teammates, but they're all from Samoa or Germany. And that's, you mentioned community and what sport is and what it's about. Those are the stories that I look back on and I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty proud of that, because that exemplifies what sport is about and what I think it should be about.
So special. Is there a piece of advice that you have been given that you have really stuck onto and you want to pass on to anyone listening?
Probably one from the old man, actually. You've got to allow yourself to bend like a reed in the wind.
Please explain.
Well, you think when the wind comes through, a reed always bends and allows the wind to pass through it. When bad things happen to you, when there's good things, you've got to allow yourself to be flexible and bend like a reed in the wind. What do you think of that? Good?
That's great. No, you do. You do have to be flexible in this industry and in any industry, to be fair.
Well, it's in life, isn't it? When bad things drag you down, you've got to be able to navigate through them.
100%. It's inevitable that stuff will happen to you and you've just got to keep moving. I'm sure there's someone listening to the podcast right now and he's thinking, I want to be Liam. I want to sit in his position.
I don't know about that. Thank you, Kira. Cheers.
What should they be doing right now to help them get to where you are?
I mentioned earlier putting your hand up. Do stuff. This, where I'm at right now, started because I bought a crappy microphone and plugged it into my computer and started just recording my own stuff. You know, I should mention, I did my own like podcast by myself and then another one with a uni student, Blake, and we'd get 20 views. But I always look back to that. If I had never done that, I wouldn't have been offered the job at the Colac Herald. I wouldn't have been offered the opportunity to do the local podcasts that I do, which then wouldn't have led to the job that I currently have. Now, I still would have had my degree and I might have worked at the Colac Herald or all that sort of stuff. But I took the leap on my own accord and, you know, I showed a bit of initiative. I showed a bit of initiative and from that I've got to the position I am. So if people out there want to get somewhere, you've got to make the first move. You've got to get out of your comfort zone, try something new and just go for it.
Liam, you have been such a fabulous guest. You have an incredible story and one that I know people will love to listen to. I'm going to finish every episode asking our guests to describe their journey so far in one word.
Can I go a sentence?
Go a sentence.
Too good to be true.
I love that. That's a perfect way to end it. It's very Liam of you to end like that, but it is absolutely true because you've put in the hard yards.
Grateful. There we
go. Grateful. Yeah. That's good too. But too good to be true is great, but you have definitely put in the hard yards and I saw how hard you worked over the 3 years. So thank you for sharing your story with us. I'm sure we'll hear more from you. Where can anyone listening find you?
Liam Pills McKellar on Instagram and then obviously Mix 106.3 on our FM station and 3CS 1134 on our AM station.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Liam.
Cheers.
You've been listening to The Grad Perspective, where we dive into the real journeys of Holmes Glen Bachelor of Sports Media and Business graduates. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at thegradperspective.pod and share the podcast with a friend. We will be back next week, same time, same place, with another fabulous guest.